Thanks for inviting us into your homes on this Good Friday evening. Good Friday 2020 will be different than all years past. I was reflecting on Good Fridays even last year and the year before when we would exit the building with these big galvanized steel nails and we'd drop them in the bucket and hear the clangs. Well, we can't exactly do that tonight. So we're going to still bring to you a sweet and significant Good Friday service. So we're grateful that you've tuned in wherever you're at tonight. Thank you for watching and for being a part. Well, I want to share tonight a poem, a story, a scripture, and a song. And it's going to be a special night together. I want to start with a question, though. What is so good about Good Friday? What's so good about Good Friday? Let's start with that poem tonight. It's titled, Hang It on the Cross. If you have a secret sorrow, a burden or a loss, an aching need for healing, hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is feeling heavy, hang it on the cross. Every obstacle to faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness and dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph, hanging on the cross. Friends, tonight, the scripture that I want to read with you is part of what Jesus talked about in his last seven words or statements or expressions. We see these in the Gospels, and tonight in Luke in particular. I'll read those seven statements to you and then land on one in particular tonight. The first is this. You've heard these before. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When did he say that? Hanging from the cross. And secondly, today you will be with me in paradise. Who's Jesus talking to? The thief on the right or the thief on the left? One wanted him to just rescue him. The other one said, can I join you in paradise? And Jesus says these words. Another statement that Jesus makes on the cross is, woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. You can picture Mary there at the foot of the cross and Jesus hanging there in great torture and pain, looking down to his mother, saying these words. And then we see this fourth statement. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He moves his eyes from his mother below to his father above. And in these final things that he says, significant for us in answering the question, what is so good about Good Friday? The fifth thing that he says is, I thirst. You can only imagine how thirsty Jesus was hanging on the cross. And then we see these three incredible words that Jesus says on the cross. It is finished. And you think maybe that's it. But there's one more statement he makes. And it's this seventh statement I want to talk about tonight. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The last words of Jesus on the cross explain the way that he lived his whole life on earth. But look with me at that final statement one more time. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he'd breathe his last breath and die. From the cross, Jesus is teaching us that our spirit, no matter what condition it is in, is safe in the Father's hands. And this brings me great comfort in light of what's happening around the globe in 2020. That this last statement, the statement that Jesus makes, is a statement that I need to make, that you need to make, that we need to make. Father, I commit my spirit. I entrust my life to you. I don't know what it all holds. I don't have the solution for what's happening, but I do know this. I can trust you in your hand. We can trust God with our life. We can put our lives into his hands. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, my dad's hands just seemed so big. They were rugged and strong, and they had these weird kind of moles and different things on them. And I thought, well, man, am I going to grow up and have hands like my dad? And they also, by the way, had hair all over them. And I was thinking, well, maybe someday I'll have the moles and the hair. And, well, I've grown up now, and at the big age of 51, I don't have any moles or hair on my hands. But I remember when I was a little kid, My dad would comfort me with his hands. I remember my dad would console me with his hands. My papa, my dad, brought so much love and adoration with his hands. And if my earthly dad could bring that much love and comfort, how many of us know that our heavenly Father can bring us so much more in his great grip of grace, that he holds us like little children, needing to be comforted and consoled? And Jesus is saying on the cross, "Father, I commit my spirit unto your hand. I give my life to you and your plan." You see, those are Jesus' final words, but shouldn't those be our words every day? In the midst of a COVID crisis, in the midst of triumph or trial, that we would put our spirit, put our life into his hands. Well, I want to show you a couple videos and I want to share a couple stories with you here in just a moment. We're going to bounce around the Willamette Valley. We're going to go to a garden and we're going to go to the courthouse. And we're going to go to the river and we're going to go to a cemetery. So let's cue up that first one and let's go to the garden. Hello from the garden. Being in the garden tonight reminds me of Good Friday and all that took place with Jesus when he was there in Gethsemane and he was hanging out with his disciples and praying to the Father, asking for wisdom and probably courage and a whole bunch of grit that he'd be able to go all the way to the cross. He's about to be arrested. He'll be tortured, flogged. He'll be interrogated. Peter will deny him not just once, but three times. And Jesus will ultimately go to the cross. But it's interesting how it starts in the garden. And the beauty and the rest and the pause of this sweet place that Jesus takes one more moment to be with his Father, to ask for that courage and that resilience to help him be ready for what's right in front of him. Good Friday. What's so good about it anyways? What's so good about Good Friday? Well, Nadera, thanks for joining us tonight. Nadera is my niece and I love you so much, and I know that God's doing some amazing things in your life, and I asked you the question, what's so good about Good Friday, and share with us your heart tonight.
Yeah. The first thing that came to my mind was I had to sit, and I had to think about that. What does Good Friday mean to me? And I think so often we can bypass Good Friday and just go straight to Easter, just go straight to the good stuff and God's risen and all that. But Good Friday is such an incredible testimony that we get to carry of God's love for us, right? The grace that we don't deserve, that we didn't deserve, but he chose, you know, to take our sins upon himself. And so just thinking about Good Friday and just this wonderful day, it's an amazing opportunity. And for people that don't know Christ yet, I think this kind of seems like a funky day. Like, what are we celebrating? Why are you celebrating that he died? But it's just so incredible to know that our God didn't stop at the grave, right? That he took our sins upon himself and he died for us and he rose again. And that is so incredible thinking about it in my life personally, that he would do that for me, that he even cares enough after all the stuff that I've done, after all the times that I've disobeyed and I've dishonored him, that he still wanted to love me and still wanted to die for me.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, there's one response to what's so good about Good Friday. You know, Jesus starts in the garden. There's betrayal. There's going to be a trial that's going to come. And this next video, we go to the courthouse to see what happens next on this Good Friday. Well, another familiar place. Not really to me because I haven't been here in a long time, but it's a courthouse, which makes me think of John chapter 19. You go one chapter in and you see that Jesus' story is getting worse. He'll be interrogated by the high priest. He'll be interrogated by Pilate. He'll be denied and he'll be then flogged and beaten and tortured and arrested. And the people will let Barabbas go free and they'll say about Jesus, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so I ask you again, what's so good about Good Friday? What's so good about Good Friday? You know, I haven't been arrested, fortunately. I haven't even gotten a traffic violation, but that kind of freaks me out. If I were to get arrested, and then what happens after that? Do you get put into prison? Do you have to face a judge? And we know that Jesus, he was beat. He was tortured. He was flogged. And then eventually would go all the way to the cross for us. And what we see is that Jesus, when he says it is finished, he's saying that I have paid the debt and I've paid it in full. And so, Aaron, you're here tonight, and I'd ask you the same question. What's so good about Good Friday?
You know, I was thinking about this question. I think we could take I could take about 4 hours and talk about all the reasons why it's good. But when I think about Good Friday and what it means to me in my life is I can think of all the things that I've done wrong in my life. Yeah. You just talked about being arrested for things that you do wrong. But I can think of all the things that I won't necessarily get arrested. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus went to the cross to die for me. And I, like Nadera said, one of the things that stands out for me is we always want to jump to Easter, or we always want to celebrate the King. But this is the action that is the good action that gives me salvation. Because if there is no cross, if there is no crucifixion, there is no salvation for me. There is no covering of my sin. And it means that I don't get to worship God. It doesn't mean I don't get to talk to God. I don't get to have any prayer. I get nothing else without the cross. So for me in my life, I can look back at all of the mistakes that I did in my past, the mistakes that I even have done today with my family and just in my thinking, and all the things that I'm going to do in my future. Jesus covered it all in this moment right here. It's the doing.
That's a great answer. I think in the doing, we have to take Jesus' example. I mean, we don't have to go to the cross like he did, but we get to pick up our cross and daily carry it. And it's probably a reminder for you that are watching, maybe you say you're sorry. You just said, I may have made some mistakes
today. Ask for
forgiveness. Yeah, so maybe you go home and share that with your kids or with your wife or with a friend or a family member. Tonight, Good Friday, is a great opportunity to do what Jesus did when he took our sin and our shame and our pain, and he forgave us of all that. Why don't we forgive somebody this Good Friday? Well, we're going to take you in another place down by the river tonight and look at this globe and this river shot. Well, we're at another familiar place right here in Salem. Got the world behind me. I got the Willamette River in front of me. When I think about the world, I think about what Jesus came to do, to die for you and for me. In fact, it says in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one son to die for you, to die for me, that our sins would be washed away and that we'd have eternal life with him. So what's so good about Good Friday? That Jesus died for you and died for me. That's what's good. Again, the question is for us. What's so good about Good Friday? When Jesus takes the nails in his hands and his feet, and he does it for not just a part of the world, like only Australia or only Africa. But you see in the video that he does it for the whole wide world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Well, I'm especially grateful for who's sitting next to me tonight. This is Stacy, my wife of 31 years, and I'm glad that Jesus died for her. And on this Good Friday, let me ask you the question as well. What's so good about Good Friday?
You know, I was thinking along the lines of what you just said exactly, that I am so grateful for my own salvation, but I am so grateful for the salvation of my family. This is a year of firsts for us. This is the first year that my mother isn't with us on Easter. And as I was scrolling through Facebook this week, I found a picture of her last Easter in this building, back when we were able to celebrate Easter together. Remember, church? Yeah. And it caught me. It caught me because of the grief, really. And because of the separation that I feel from her and even from others, I think it just added to the grief that I feel in this season. But what Good Friday means to me is that I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see her again. And it's not an eternal separation. You know, this social distancing thing, this being separate from other people is not, it doesn't come naturally. We're not supposed to live separate lives. Well, because of what Jesus did, we don't have to be separated from our Heavenly Father eternally and even now. And that's what Good Friday means to me, is that Jesus erased that distance between us, and we'll live with him eternally, and we'll also see those that have gone on before.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. You know, you bring up a pretty tender topic, grief. And don't you think that the disciples watching Jesus die, their friend, their Messiah, their Savior, their teacher, their rabbi, that he dies, and do you think that they just keep moving on? No, they experience a deep level of grief as well on that first Good Friday. We know the rest of the story. We know that a Sunday is coming. The disciples, they forget. But we know that after Friday, something takes place. He goes to the grave. I want to take us to a cemetery here in town that was started back in the 1800s. And some of our original early Oregonians are buried there tonight. Take a look. I'm at Pioneer Cemetery in Salem. This is one of the biggest tombstones here on the property. And it reminds me of Jesus on that Saturday, that silent, dark Saturday, when he laid behind the tomb, resting there, when the whole world paused and everybody was wondering. The disciples were panicked and freaking out. The ladies stayed calm. And we see that then Sunday will come. But before Sunday comes, we must remember the power of the cross and the power of the grave, which will be overcome because nothing will hold back the love and the light of Jesus. That's what's so good about Easter. That's what's so good about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So God bless you this Easter weekend.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
This song comes directly from Scripture, Numbers 6. May the Lord bless you. May he pour out his favor and shine his face upon you. To 1,000 generations, to your family and to my family. You're sitting there tonight on this Good Friday, and I wonder if you can answer that question. What's so good about Good Friday? What's good is that Jesus came to die for you, for me, for us. If you'd like to make that personal decision, that commitment tonight, I want you to pray with me right now before we go back into the song. So join me right now. Heavenly Father, we admit that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We thank you that you sent your Son to save us, to spare us, to rescue and redeem us. We love you. And we ask that you come into our lives. You would fill us with faith. We thank you for your amazing grace and your new mercies. We thank you that your love is what's being poured out upon us tonight. That blessing of favor, that blessing of hope. So we receive that tonight. And for those of you that do know Jesus, tonight maybe you can answer it again afresh. What's so good about Good Friday? Oh, there's so many good things about Good Friday. So let's sing and let's enjoy and rejoice together in the blessing that God gives.
In a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you. In a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you. Generations in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you. And a thousand generations in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you.
Receive that blessing tonight. Well, what we're going to do in these next few moments, as you continue to receive the blessing, that I want to invite you to receive communion. Now, we've never done virtual communion, and you've got to prep yourself on that side of the camera. Maybe you go to your cabinet and you get out a cookie, or maybe a good old-fashioned Frito, or a Ritz cracker, or a Triscuit. Or maybe a rice cracker. You see, it doesn't really even matter if it's a cracker, a cookie, or a chip. What matters is what's going to take place as you remember and reflect on the cross. As you repent and come clean. Maybe if you're all by yourself, you do that with Jesus. If you're with your mom or your dad or your kids or your friends, maybe you do that with each other. Friends, there's a line in that song, in the blessing, that He is for you. And in the sign language, it's pretty simple. He is for you. And I want you to feel that tonight. I want you to know and be reminded on this Good Friday. What's so good about Good Friday? He's for you. He's not against you. He didn't come to condemn you or to judge you. He came to rescue and to redeem you. And tonight on this Good Friday, in these next few moments, in the comfort of your homes, around living rooms or kitchen tables, in your lazy boy chairs, wherever you're at, would you take the next few moments and receive the cracker and eat that in remembrance of what He accomplished on the cross? And then get a cup of juice or wine or a soda or something to drink, and drink that in remembrance of His blood that was shed for you and for those that you're praying with tonight. And I want to extend this time for you to enjoy communion on this Good Friday. So we're not leaving the building with a drop nail that clangs that we all hear. We leave and finish our night tonight with communion remembering what he accomplished for us. You see, friends, we don't have to say goodbye to him. We can say hello to him because he is alive. And on Sunday, we're going to celebrate that. So we'll see you back online Sunday morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you, pour his face and his favor, shine bright all over you tonight and this weekend. Enjoy communion together.